Thank you and good afternoon. Today I'll talk a little bit about the perceptions of current soil fertility recommendations and the fertility status of soils in Illinois. I also would like to acknowledge my co-authors in this presentation, Bhupinder Farmaha and Dr. Emerson Afsinger. The purpose of this study was to basically assess the general fertility of the soils in Illinois to determine the degree of stratification of nutrients in the soil profile, and then to share the information in a way that will help producers understand the value of soil testing and the value of using the recommendations to guide their fertilization applications. The approach that we use, and I will be talking about several different aspects of this project. The first one was a survey of soil fertility across Illinois. To do that survey, we basically used extension educators and volunteers across the state that were participating in the European Corn Board Survey. This survey has been done for more than 60 years in Illinois. And so when they were doing this survey, I asked them to collect soil samples for me, basically. And I asked them to basically take a six-core composite sample from two different depths, 0 to 8 and 8 to 18 centimeters. And then these were collected randomly within a 3-meter diameter, varying in the location in respect to the row, because these were random fields. We didn't know if the applications were broadcast or banded, and to try to avoid any problems with bands. That's how we did it that way. And we also have GPS coordinates for the location of each of these samples. We analyzed the samples for phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, organic matter, pH. And so here is the map of Illinois showing the locations. We did this survey for 2 years, 2007 and 2008. And you can see the locations by the little dots or triangles there. Now, in Illinois, we divide the state into three regions for phosphorus, depending on the phosphorus supply and power of the soil. For instance, the high phosphorus supplying regions are here in the dark gray. The medium phosphorus supply in regions in the light gray, and then we have the low phosphorus supply regions in the white. And then for potassium, we actually have CEC, different CEC soils, high CEC soils in the dark gray. The light gray is low CEC soils, and then the white is sands, which are also low CEC soils. Now, this is the descriptive statistics for those samples that we collected. I'll talk about phosphorus and potassium in a second. Let me just mention quickly about calcium and magnesium. These are the adequate ranges that we talk about for corn and soybean production. And these are the values anywhere from the minimum values to the maximum values, the median and the mean values for these nutrients. And what you can see here very clearly is that for calcium and magnesium, both of those nutrients are in very high supply. We won't have to worry about those two nutrients for a long time in Illinois, basically. pH, the values went from 4.7 to 8.1, so not as much of a spread there. And the mean and the medians were right at 6.7, so pretty good conditions for pH. And then this is kind of an information point here with organic matter with 3.2, 3.3 median and mean values respectively. Now, as I mentioned, we have three phosphorus regions in Illinois, high, medium, and low phosphorus supplying regions. And this is the distribution of the samples that we collected. There were almost 600 fields that we collected the information from. And in terms of phosphorus, most of the fields were at pretty high levels. The red represents the fields that were above a point at which we recommend no more application. There is no response to crops at that point. Then the green portion here represents the maintenance. Basically, we are applying fertilizer to maintain the fertility. And then the blue represents area below the critical level. In other words, that the crop will really need to have an application in order to maximize yield. And you can see for phosphorus that most fields are well above the point at which additional fertilization is not going to make a difference. We have 73% of the fields here, 60% in the medium, and 43% of the fields in the low P supplying region. Now, when we look at K, we have a little bit of a different situation. For phosphorus, the concern is that we have way too many fields with very high phosphorus levels. For potassium, the distribution is not as extreme. We still have quite a number of fields that are above the point where we don't recommend any more applications. But there is quite a number of fields that are below the critical level, 44% for the high CEC soils, 60% for the low CEC soils, and 32% for the sand soils or sandy soils. So what I've done with this information, I've used it to talk to farmers about the impact that soil testing could have in their operation. The fact that phosphorus levels were so high, potassium levels were so low, generally speaking, highlights that we are not really paying too much attention to what the soil test levels are, and that there is room for improvement. And in presenting this data, I think it was an eye-opener to many of the farmers that I talked during this year, and in highlighting the importance of looking at soil test levels to determine whether you need to apply more fertilizer or not. We also looked at, in this survey, we looked at the stratification of P and K and the other nutrients. So here we are looking at the top 8 centimeters versus the 8 to 18 centimeters. And the ratios, you can see for phosphorus, it was highly stratified, 2.4 to 1 surface to subsurface, 1.5 for potassium. Calcium and magnesium were all the same. pH was just slightly higher, but it was at 1.0, really. And then organic matter just slightly, which basically is showing that a lot of the fields in Illinois are under some type of conservation tillage system. We are not mixing the soil as much. And we end up with this stratification. Now, after I conducted this survey, I started looking through the library and looking through the boxes of stuff that I had there from historic information from Illinois. And I found that back in the 60s, somebody had done a survey similar to what I had done. And so I would like to present some of that information. There are some differences between the two surveys. These were done in 1967 through 1969. They sample over 1,300 fields. These were corn and soybean fields, and they collected samples from the top 15 centimeters of the soil. My survey here was conducted in 547 fields, and we collected only from corn fields that had not been harvested yet, and we collected it in the fall. The samples were collected in the fall. And we collected from the top 18 centimeters of the soil. But still, with those differences, we can still look at the difference between the two surveys and talk about these things. So here I'm presenting the pH ranges for the first survey and the current survey. And in terms of pH, it's very clear that we have improved pH levels in the soils. Back in the earlier survey, a lot of the fields were testing below, you know, at 6 or below 6.0. Whereas in the current survey, about 15-16% of the fields were testing below the 6.0. Similarly, a lot of the samples were fields were testing above 7 in the new survey compared to the old survey, which indicates again that there is a lot of a lot better management in terms of applying lime to the fields, maintaining adequate pH. For phosphorus, we see a large increase in the amount of phosphorus present in the soils in the current survey compared to the old survey, especially when we look at the really high soil test levels, 26% versus 35, 12 versus 26%, 5 versus 10. And the good thing is that a lot of these fields that were under the below the critical level in the 60s, we have reduced those. So we are moving, we moved away from that. We don't have as many fields. In terms of potassium, it was actually very interesting how close those values looked between the two surveys. Now, we also wonder what is causing this increase in phosphorus levels, especially in the field. This is showing phosphorus and potassium levels by each county that we sampled, and I don't expect you to see all that, but we looked at the soil test levels by county, and we tried to make a correlation to number of animals produced. We looked at all sorts of different scatter plots to see if there was any correlation between number of animals produced and the soil test levels that we were seeing by county, and we found this this pattern. There was not really any correlation, which indicates to me that we are increasing phosphorus levels mostly by application of fertilizer. There might be a little bit of extra movement from the subsurface into the surface, and we are not tilling the soils as much. But nonetheless, if you are taking soil samples to determine what this fertility is, we should be maintaining the fertility at adequate levels instead of continue to increase it to very high test levels like I showed you previously. So I conducted another survey. This was an audience survey. And first of all, I just wanted to mention that to do this survey, we had to have approval from the Institutional Review Board. It's one of those hoops that you need to go through to protect the human subjects. But once we had the approval, we conducted this survey during the Corn and Soybean Classics. It's a meeting that we have at several locations, six different locations throughout Illinois in the winter, in January of this year. And we obtained 833 responses from about 1,100 people attending that conference using the Turning Point Audience Response System, or clickers. If you're not familiar with them, they're like a small little calculator that everybody will have, and you punch your answer with that device, and we collect that information. So I ask, the first question I ask is, what do you think about the current critical levels for P and K for corn and soybean production in Illinois? And the large majority for phosphorus and for potassium, 58% and 54% of the responses, 833 responses here, most of these people were farmers, said that they agree that they are adequate. Some said that they were a little bit on the low side, some didn't really know, some didn't want to tell me, but that's okay. But in large, people agree that there is a value in the recommendation system. Then I asked, how often do you soil sample for PK and pH? 82% of the responses said that they do it every 4 years. 11% said more often, every 2 years at least. So most people are doing their soil tests. Most people agree that there is value in this recommendation system. Yet we see pretty high test levels in phosphorus especially. And we see a lot of fields that are testing below a critical level for potassium. Of course, we cannot link the two surveys because the field survey was random fields, and the people from this audience probably are the more progressive farmers. But in general, if we speak in general, we can see that there is somewhat of a disconnect in these two situations. The last question I asked, and just to put it in the background, that this was asked during the winter when fertilizer prices were still pretty high for P and K, especially K. I asked, how do you Do you plan to apply less P and K for the 2009 growing season? And a lot of the people, 24%, said that they will be applying, that they will be applying less by quite a bit. 34% said that they will be applying less. 39% said that they will be applying the same amount. Okay, so with with this information, what I've been doing this year, I'm talking to producers about the fact that it is not enough to collect the soil test information, but it is important to understand what those tests mean and decide whether you can apply or be able to go without an application. A lot of the questions this year were, can I get a crop without applying P and K? And the answer to that is, it depends on what the soil test levels are. You know, very simple, very straightforward. But by using these technologies, by using the survey questions and using the soil survey that we conducted, we were able to talk to them in a way that they could really see the impact of these management decisions, that the recommendations or their application should be based on the recommendations and on the soil test information that they already have. With that, I'll stop, and I don't know if there is time for questions. No time? Okay, all right. Thank you.